Everything about the world we live in today, its geography, climate, biotas, even ourselves, was shaped and reshaped multiple times during the last 2.6 million years. This was the world of the Quaternary megafauna, the hugest and fiercest and strangest members of which mysteriously disappeared near the end of this interval, just as Charles Darwin's contemporary and fellow evolutionist Alfred Russel Wallace said they did in the epigraph that opens this book. Considered as a group and compared to other major loss events in the geological record, near-time extinctions present several unusual features. Of course, non-maritime vertebrates of large body size are still with us. Think of elephants, ostriches, and Komodo dragons. But compared to 50,000 years ago, when I start the near-time extinction clock, there aren't nearly as many big ones left. In North America at present, for example, there are about a dozen species that qualify as megafaunal. Before the extinctions began, there were at least 30 more. Similar large-scale continental losses occurred in South America and Australia, but intriguingly not in Africa or Southern Asia, where losses were fewer and staggered over considerable intervals. The loss picture for North Eurasia lies between these two extremes. Only a handful of oceanic islands supported truly megafaunal mammals and birds. None of the biggest ones have survived, although a few of the large island reptiles, think of crocodiles and tortoises, have managed to hold on here and there. That's from the opening of End of the Megafauna, the fate of the world's hugest, fiercest, and strangest animals by Ross D.E. McPhee with illustrations by Peter Schutten. Now, perhaps End of the Megafauna is a bit too footnotish to appeal to the casual reader, but if you, like me, are interested in the life, the times, and the fate of the megafauna of the post-dinosaur era, those huge mastodons, saber-toothed tigers, giant sloths, well, this is your book. As a good scientist, our author opens with a question to be answered, or at least researched: why did the great mammals of near time on Earth disappear within the memory of humankind? As he tells us, this disappearance extinction was not always a slow event, as might be expected with evolution, but neither was it a sudden event that overwhelmed the megafauna mammals around the globe, all of the demise of the dinosaurs. And in pursuing this question, our author highlights the two major thought experiments for megafaunal extinction that are popular today: the influence of humans and the effects of ancient climate change. Happily for us readers, most of the text develops in a way that, if this were fiction, would unfold as an intriguing mystery. Following up on the first chapter's setting out of the questions, why did the megafauna come to be? And more to the point, why did the Earth's megafauna disappear from almost every continent except, oddly enough, Africa and parts of Asia, as we just heard? There is always that oddity, that exception to the expected in a good mystery, yes? So we begin this true story, as you might expect, with a quick look at the Earth's fauna and landscape before humans really came onto the scene. And then we explore the appearance and the diaspora, as our author puts it, of hominins, leading to the domination of the world today by what we now call ourselves, human beings. The stage set, it is then that our story, albeit this is nonfiction, takes off. Chapter 5 launches us forward with the question: how do we explain the massive near-time extinctions of megafaunal mammals that occurred in large part when humans appeared on the scene? The obvious and perhaps ultimately correct answer proposed comes from theories spun in the late 20th century. Paleontologist Paul Martin proposed a still popular theory that revolved around a very science fiction-sounding Planet of Doom series of scenarios, proposing the idea that as humans spread quickly across the planet, they took advantage of their agility, of their nascent and growing brains, and their need for food to kill the megafauna they found all around them. The story presented rolls out thousand-year blitzkriegs aimed at megafauna as humans spread from Africa into Europe, into Asia, North and South America, Oceania, and other islands. Well, as any scientific theory will, the Planet of Doom concept found and continues to find its supporters and its detractors. And our author takes us into the whys and wherefores of both those who support and those who don't find the deadly effect of human hunting and environmental poaching as the death knell for so many of the huge mammals of the near yesteryear. And soon enough, takes us as well into the question of whether ancient climate change may have played a significant role in the process of megafauna extinction as well. He wraps up with a very apt chapter, taking us back to the questions that were begged from the very beginning of our book, laying out once more why extinction matters. Yes, it's intellectually interesting, and it's emotionally stirring that huge mastodons and giant horses that once roamed the land we know as North America and South America and Europe and much of Asia have disappeared. But so what? Why does extinction of these giant animals actually matter to us today in the 21st century? But most of all, it's the paintings. We don't have any photographs of the giant beasts that intrigued and excited me and other reviewers of this book. As I read, the pages are infused with full-color dioramas of giant mastodons, crocodiles, sloths from almost every continent, not Antarctica, and not a few islands from the first pages through the last. For example, from our own world of North America, we're treated to a giant diorama of the Appalachian Plateau, as our author tells us. The Appalachian Plateau is an elevated region in the eastern United States running from southern New York to Alabama. At the end of the last ice age, which is the time period we're talking about, its northern end would have been covered in boreal forest at higher elevations. Farther south, cool temperate forests like the one depicted here would have been the rule, with many watercourses, lakes. This was good habitat for giant beaver and stag moose, but also for an assortment of other large mammals, long-nosed peccary, Vero tapirs, Jefferson's ground sloth, and Harlan's muskox. All of the species seen here are extinct, except for the jaguar, which no longer lives in the United States except in isolated pockets. This mixture of animals, whose closest extant relatives live in areas ranging from the Arctic to the tropics, may seem a bit bizarre, but it brings home the point that the faunal associations as well as diets of Pleistocene species were very different from the ones we think of as normal today. The only megafaunal species comfortably living in northern Appalachia today are the black bear and the white-tailed deer, although cougars lived there in the early 20th century and may be returning. You turn the page, and we see a panoramic scene in the northern Andes. Another page takes us into a forest scene in the island of Hispaniola. And yet, a few pages on, we discover giant, ferocious-looking, and quite woolly rhinoceroses that were evidently traveling the world that we now know as northern Asia and northern Europe. And finally, a forest panorama in southeastern Australia, where some creatures, many of them marsupial-derived, evidently, are featured both eating, hunting, and just kind of looking out at us from their frozen page. The epilogue is titled, Can the Megafauna Live Again? And it's a marvelous coda to this fascinating look at that vast time between the dinosaurs and the rise of human dominance on our planet. Explaining the rise of these giant mammals is not the purpose of this book. The sudden decline and fall is the book's meat and potatoes. And so it is both ironic and intriguing that the author ends his book with this question. Can modern science, given the growing climate changes on Earth, bring back some of the megafauna to regions of the world they had dominated for so many thousands of years? And of course, what the heck would we do in that case? Kind of reminds you of a Jurassic Park question, only replace the dinosaurs with giant mastodons and sloths and crocodiles and other ferocious creatures. It's quite an interesting look at a time period that kind of exists still in human memory, kind of vaguely in human memory, perhaps. There's a note in here that the cave paintings from the ancient caves found in southern Europe may indeed be reflecting quite a few of these megafaunal species that were around still in early human time. It's called End of the Megafauna, The Fate of the World's Hugest, Fiercest, and Strangest Animals by Rosti E. McPhee. Got to mention as well the illustrations by Peter Schutten, and it's available at any of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.